This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we talk with actors, artists, and creators about their work, career, and current obsession. I'm your host, Patrick Holland, and my guest is the actor and stand-up Yvonne Orji. She's best known for playing Molly Carter on the series Insecure, and her performance was nominated for an Emmy Award in 2020. Yvonne is also a stand-up comic and has a new HBO special titled Yvonne Orji, A Whole Me. It's a mix of stand-up and comic vignettes and is a follow-up to her 2020 comedy special, Mama, I Made It. Let's listen to part of the trailer for Yvonne Orji, A Whole Me.
This is my second HBO special. We out here, baby!
Get it. I got the bag, I'm running with it. Swerving with it, hit the curb like it's running.
We realize, too, we do not miss the pandemic.
We had so much time, we finished TV. And still, with all the time we had left,
whenever that one number would call, we look at the phone like, I ain't got time for this.
Get it. I got the bag, I'm running with it. Swerving with it, hit the curb like it's running.
I can't stand the double standards in dating.
You're facing the following charges. Being consistently picky and having unreasonable standards.
My standards are not unreasonable.
Knowing to hold you at night, rub shea butter on the middle of your back.
My eggs are frozen solid. I got time.
Time from where? I will throw out your frozen eggs and I will make a grand slam.
Okay, so today is Friday, September 30th, and tomorrow is Saturday, October 1st, and your second HBO comedy special comes out. What are you feeling? What's going through your mind?
I'm excited, and I do feel nerves. I think any creative, when you birth something, there's a little bit of nerves, like, all right, there's no going back now. It's out in the world. It's out for the judgment. It's out for the laughter. It's out for the conversations and the think pieces. It's just out. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to hopefully see that people saw and received what I was trying to put out.
And do you have like any plans for like a watch party? You're seeing with friends or family or anything like that?
Well, I'm actually having a premiere event. It's an event that I've done. Pre-COVID kind of took us out for 2 years, but it's called the Night of Nigerian Excellence. And it brings Nigerians across multiple different professions together. And it's just like a big uplifting community celebration, not only to celebrate our accomplishment, for us to meet each other. So it's like, it's not like, oh, the Nigerian that I see on this show or the Nigerian that helped, you know, me get my house. It's like, we're all in the same space. We can all network and we can all continue to build our network together. So that's kind of going to be my premier event. So excited for that.
And are you nervous at all? Because that is like, I would imagine, even though there are so many prestigious professions that Nigerians have, that culturally there's some differences with humor. So are there certain jokes you think that might land better, or are they more boisterous laughter for as a crowd, just things like that?
I think that some things may resonate with the community and some things may be head scratchers. You know, when I talk about, you know, having a different relationship with being Nigerian and like learning to undo some things that actually like helped us be great. It's like, that may be like, huh, how do you do that? And it's like, I'm trying to figure it out too. So it's just, those are the kind of things that cause some folks in the community to be like, all right, noted. Might need to research this a little bit more, because that's what Nigerians do. We research how to do less, just do less.
But it seems like you're doing so much though, because again, this is your second HBO comedy special. I think most people would, I mean, I know growing up, HBO comedy specials were like the golden ticket. I mean, there are a lot of networks and streaming services that have them now, but it's still, there's a prestige to that. So to have a second one seems pretty cool. But how was it going through the process of not only coming up with your act and sketches, but also just recording a second special after having done the first one?
Yeah, no, it is very much still the golden ticket. It's funny, Little Rel and I, my co-star on Vacation Friends, we talk about it because he has a HBO special too. And we're just like, yo, we got two of them. Like, you know, it's still a big deal for us because like, yeah, we grew up watching the likes of Chris Rock and you're like, oh my God, Bigger and Blacker, what the heck? You know, like that, that was appointment television for us. And so to be, able to do it not once but twice, it's a big deal for me. And so the process was interesting because at first I thought I was just doing like a sketch, like an African sketch show. In my mind I was like, I don't know that I had anything else to say. And so when I pitched the opportunity to HBO, it was more kind of like African and living color, and they were like, oh, okay, because I was like, you know, the Afrobeat dancers were gonna be my fly girls, like it was, I saw a whole thing, you know, and they were like, cool, and so as we're going through the process, they were like, yeah, so like, but like your hour though, like where is your stand up? And I was like, wait, y'all still want that? That's so interesting that y'all still want that. That's wild. And so I had to like pivot a little bit because I was like, okay, well, now we're not doing sketches because now I have to figure out what I want to say. And so once I figured out like what I wanted to say, what the themes were, because for me, if I'm going to do a stand-up, I want it to mean something. I want it to be actually special. And so based on the themes, I was like, well, yeah, these sketches, they're not going to be traditional sketches because they're, you know, sketch follows certain rules. So some of the vignettes like are a little bit more, I don't say somber, but they're a little bit more introspective. And then the other ones are a little bit more zany and the other, you know, so it's just they had to be a through line that connected now the stand-up to the vignettes. And so that kind of required a little bit more retooling, reworking to make it fit and flow seamlessly.
Oh, I love this. I love when people talk about retooling and reworking because I feel like it's one thing to come up with a joke or an idea, and it's another thing to really tweak it and adjust it and refine it to a bit. I'm curious about your process. Are you a like sit down and write an idea out kind of person, at least in terms of your stand-up? Are you I'll go up on stage and see what flows, I have a loose idea? How do you form your stand-up?
I wrote this special in one weekend.
One weekend, that's impressive.
In one weekend, I mean, and you know, I refined it while on tour, but I remember watching Rathaniel, Gerard Carmichael special and being like, honest to God, like that's what art is supposed to do. It's supposed to move. It's supposed to be a medium to just exercise all the feelings. Like I just was like so empowered after watching him. And I remember being challenged too, like, yo, I'm not saying anything just for the sake of saying anything. If I don't have anything to say, then we can table this until I do. And then I had one phone call with a friend and I was like, yo, what did we talk about all pandemic? The last 2 years, what did we talk about? And then, cause you know, sometimes you just need someone to help jog your memory. And they were like, and then, you know, you told me about this. And then I was like, bet. So I got on the phone. I do everything on my notes app, like on just notes on my iPhone. So I'm like narrating like conversations, themes, and then I go to the shower and I'm like, okay, that could be a fun joke. Okay, but how do I connect this to that joke? Okay, so what's the through line here? Boom, boom, boom. And like, it was a thing, like I really didn't have a hobby in the pandemic and it was really bothering me. I was like, everybody else is doing stuff? Like, I think once I said it to somebody else was like, I know, I ain't have one either. So it's like, you have that connective tissue. And I'm like, so I wasn't the only one. So then you're like, it's a gamble. You're like, maybe everybody else had hobbies, but what about the few of us that didn't? Let me talk to them for a second. And then I went on tour and it's like, oh, a whole bunch of us didn't have hobbies. Like, y'all feel my pain, you know? So it's just like, and also your hobby was coloring. What the heck? How old are you? You know? And it's just like, I'm sad about it because there is a liberty and a freeness and a, like a return to your childhood with coloring, but I'm actually hating on all the people who like discovered that free time to just be with themselves. So I'm hating on y'all. I'm like, oh, so y'all was out here coloring with your big age. So it's like, I'm acting like I'm mad at them, but I'm actually mad at myself that I didn't do that. So for me, finding what was specific and authentic to myself, but then also very receptive to other people who were actually going through their own process. I remember when we did, I think it was the final stop of my tour. I was in Philly And I got to the part about estate planning and it was dark. And there was this like I had to be maybe like 35 to 45 year old black man in a corner. And I was like, man, you guys got to have a will. And out of nowhere, he goes, talk your talk, Yvonne. And I was like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, and he was just like, nah, tell him it's real. And I said, oh, somebody stuck that man with the flower arrangements. Somebody, you know, like, and it, I wasn't laughing. Like, we weren't laughing at it, but it was just like, you could tell it was so earnest. Like, he had just lost somebody. And they didn't plan accordingly. And this man is like, not only grieving the loss, but like, grieving the time he spent trying to figure things out and all the family issues that come with that. So I'm thinking, I'm about to go into a joke. And he's like, no, come on, tell him. It's real out here. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I wanted to hug him. But you know, like, again, that's what the power we have as comics with a mic on stage. It's like, we make people feel, but we can also bring people together. We can also laugh at ourselves. We can also like, you know, have a moment of like heart to heart.
I want to ask about the title though, A Whole Me. What's the significance of that title?
So it's a callback to the first special. So the first special, that was the tagline that really stuck in the minds of a lot of people, because in America, that's not a thing that people commonly say. Whereas in Nigeria, oh my God, if you disrespect somebody there, and especially don't let them be older, it's like, are you talking to me? Me. Like, it's like they can't believe the gall with which you have just tried to dismantle their souls, right? And so that was the funny part. So America's like, oh my God, I need to incorporate this in my lingo, like me, a whole me. And so with the second special, I kind of, you know, it's a double entendre. I brought it because one, I knew it was a callback, and two, is that I really did become a whole me in the pandemic. With all the time I had to reflect, I became a better version of the me that I was. And so that's why I was like, you know, not only will people remember this, but it also takes on a new meaning for me in this season of my life.
And do you find performing stand-up therapeutic at all?
If I'm being honest, I find it nerve-wracking.
Really?
I find it nerve-wracking. It doesn't matter how many times there. It's so interesting. Like, there's some shows where I'll be like, this is it. Oh my God, I'm ready to go. Like, just give me the mic. And then there are other shows I'm like, why? I need a Red Bull. I can't. I'm so nervous. Huh? Okay. You know, it worked last night, but something about tonight, I'm like, I don't know if it'll work. It keeps me on my toes. And so I don't think I've gotten to the point where it's therapeutic yet, where I can just chill and just like flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some nights I can, some nights I can't. And I think that's what makes me keep striving to do my best, because I can't just phone it in. I'm not there yet when I can just phone it in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the name of this podcast is called I'm So Obsessed. What's your current obsession?
Ooh, I am so obsessed. What am I so obsessed with right now? I do. Okay, it's a guilty pleasure, and this is all bad. But anytime I tour and I'm in a hotel, I have to watch at least one or two episodes of Forensic Files. It's weird. Don't ask why. Like, I'm just like, all right, cyanide. Here it is. Here it is. Who did it? It's gotta be the spouse, you know, like I think I'm fascinated by like how people try to take people out. Like, it's just like, but why? Like, why? Like, when did it get that bad? And why do you think you get away with it? I think that's the part I'm fascinated by. When you have so many shows like CSI, Forensic Files, you're like, you never get away with it. You never, there's going to be a blood splatter that only one UV ray ever made in the world catch. And it's like, it's going to catch you. Like, it's weird. It's so
it's weird, but I'm laughing because all my friends, we love those kinds of shows too. And you mentioned like a few other comics earlier. I mean, you mentioned Chris Rock and Lil Rev, but it's like, do you find trying to find your own voice, is it easy to disassociate with what other people have done or what your peers are doing and just focus on you? Or do you feel a pressure to like, oh man, Jared Carmichael did this. I gotta step up. I gotta do something different. Like how do you handle that?
No, you know what that is? It wasn't like I gotta do something like that. What it was a registering in my spirit, because I'm always like, even with the first special, I'm just like, I was like, hey guys, can we go to my dad's village? And Adriel was like, have you ever been to a village? And I said, no, okay, let's go. You know, so it's always me figuring out like what's cool about me that I can really harness, right? Like what's different about me that I can tap into. And so Gerard spoke to me because it was like, yeah, I don't want to just, I can do an hour. I've done it. I can do it. But I like, what more can I do? What more can I say with this microphone? What more? And it was just that like push for like, what more? What, yes, it can be meaningful. Yes, it can be funny. Like what more? And I think that's where I kind of just stay in my lane, because like, I find humor a lot in a lot of the observational things, but then I have this beautiful dual lens with which I can observe things from. I can observe it from being a Nigerian, like estate planning with white parents is probably very different than estate planning with Nigerian parents.
I can only imagine. Like,
yeah. You know, like I'm gonna lean into that, you know, like talking about my brother who feels like he's a thug. I was like, never a thug. Never. You have a degree. Thugs don't get degrees. It's by nature, you know? And so it's like, I'm calling it out because everyone knows Nigerians to have like multiple degrees. I'm like, you went to a great college, you know? And so, you know, those are the things I can mine in a way where it's like, I can flip it on its head, where maybe somebody else saying it is like, okay, so what? Whereas me saying it, it's like, oh, I see the difference. I see where she's coming from.
I will say this, a pal of mine, Chukwudi Awuji, is from Nigeria, and he does have multiple degrees. He's a classically trained actor and performed in lots of like Marvel movies and stuff like that. But he also has a degree in economics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I read that you were in a Miss Nigeria beauty pageant and your talent section was stand up. Do you remember, whether it's from that or even before that, the first time you told a joke and it got a laugh? Do you remember that?
That was the first time I actually like thought comedy, like I didn't know I could be a comic, and that pageant was the first time ever that I did a structured joke. I mean, as Nigerians, we're always telling stories, and so it's like, you know, like I think Black Americans call it like joning, whereas like Nigerians were just, you know, we're just like essentially joning on each other but not calling it that, talking about like, oh, remember when your mom, you know, did this to you, and then everyone starts laughing and you're like, ah man, I gotta have another story, or like I gotta get back at them. Like, remember when your mom did this to you? And so it's just us telling stories, but never in a way where like set up punchline, you know, like I didn't think that I had the power to make people laugh on cue until I discovered that I did. And then it was just like, whoa, what is this? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you could go back in time and give yourself advice in that moment, what would you say?
Girl, just hurry up and get on the stage.
That's good advice, actually.
I think I would do the same thing, because I was so deathly afraid of forgetting my lines or failing or getting booed by like Africans. It was an African audience. Africans are they're the worst. They don't give you pity claps. They're not like, at least she tried. They're like, who is this person? And why is she doing this? Like, it would just been horrible if I didn't do well. And so I memorized my set as if it were like a script. So I didn't pause for laughter. I didn't even know I was going to get laughter. And I was just like, get off the stage before they realize whether it's good or not. That was my advice of it.
I want to wrap up. We do a thing called pick one. I give you a couple of choices. You pick one. This should go fast. I just have one for you. Pick one. Molly in season one of Insecure, Molly in season three of Insecure, or Molly in season five of Insecure?
You needed all of those Mollies to get to season five of Insecure. It's, I, you know, it's kind of like I needed all of my whole life to get to the place I'm now. But Molly season one was fun and jacked up at the same time. Molly in season five, she grown, you know, she's grown. I like grown. I mean, I'm grown, so I like grown Molly. And I also think that, you know, she the payoff from all the people who hated her in season four is so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
I love the ending of the show. Yeah, that was fabulous. So, hey, I want to thank you so much for talking with me. It's been a delight, and I wish you nothing but luck with your special. I can't wait to see it tomorrow.
I appreciate you so much for taking the time to talk to me, Patrick. Have a great one.
I want to thank Yvonne for chatting with me, and I want to thank you for listening. Yvonne Orji Aholmi is now on HBO and streaming on HBO Max. I'm So Obsessed was created by our executive producer, Danielle Ramirez. Our editor and lead producer is Sophia Fox-Sowell. Please take a moment and subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app. Follow the show on Twitter at I'm So Obsessed Pod. And until next time, take care.